What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I remember I feel like no one remembers that movie.
Yeah, Fern Gully was dope. I like Fern Gully.
Yeah, oh. I never saw it as a kid. I don't think, anyway.
The movie that I watched over and over again was The Great Mouse Detective, which was just like a Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
I loved The Great Mouse Detective, Bray.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Because it was straight up Sherlock, right? Mm-hmm. Basically.
Yeah.
I remember that. I of course, I liked Batman Mask of the Phantasm because it was
okay,
so
yeah.
Lit. It was so lit. You guys all know, Aladdin's in my top three movies of all time.
Yeah, Aladdin's great.
Top three movies of all time. I worry now. No, I think it still holds. I don't think it is it offensive? I don't know. But I love some Aladdin, bro.
I mean, whatever.
And then the opening song, I don't know.
That's
anyway,
fine.
Love the Aladdin. But also, I don't know if y'all remember this this one movie, Fievel?
Yeah, American.
Yeah, Fievel.
Fievel is the character from an American.
Yeah,
wait,
he goes west.
It?
I remember just like Fievel goes
American
west.
American Tale.
American Tale.
American Tale.
American Tale.
Yeah, and there was West was the one that
that's
I
a
loved.
Sequel.
I loved that one.
That's the sequel, right?
Oh, it's a
Or is that the original?
That's right. It's a sequel.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know there was.
The
I didn't even know there was more
there
than one
two.
Movie.
There
I loved.
Two.
I loved the Rescuers Down Under. The sequel.
Yes,
I never saw the Rescuers.
Wait, I thought the Rescuers Down Under was the original one.
No, there's a movie called The Rescuers.
Wow.
And then there's The Rescuers Down Under.
The movie that I love.
The Rescuers
Down Under.
Do you know The Rescuers came out in 1977?
Really?
Yeah. Bob Newhart was one of the main ones. So it's like, of course, it didn't come out like late.
I remember The Rescuers Down Under because that came out in 1990.
Can I tell you the most slept on Disney movie of all time?
What's
a
that?
Goofy movie. I feel like
I liked a Goofy movie when it came out.
Like this year for Halloween, I am determined to be Powerline. Like I loved a Goofy movie in a way that I think I have it on DVD still. I lost it.
But I don't think it slept on.
But I feel like it doesn't get like people don't talk about like a Goofy. Tevin Campbell was in there singing songs, baby. Like I don't know. To me it's like especially like when you I don't know. He didn't think he was that cool, and to like realize that the girl he had a big crush on, who he thought was like super cool, she wasn't that cool either.
One of the funniest times I ever remember laughing was a Goofy movie when he, there's that guy from
Pauly Shore,
but not well. I don't know if it's Pauly Shore. No. It's
no.
The guy,
you're gonna say the same thing that is the funniest thing I've ever laughed at.
It's the dude from the. He's dressed up in a costume from that like you know whatever and then wait what is he what's the exact line
so he goes Max goes my life is a living hello little
that is funny that is wait
and then doesn't he hit that thing and it like and his like head spins or whatever or
yeah
something?
Eventually he does
yeah
wait I have a question is. Does Goofy movie count? Like, Goofy isn't black, right? Like, people.
No, what are you talking about?
This is my thing, because you know, Disney, they're not a lot of like. If you're going to see a person of color in the movies, it's like, it's not going to be a black person. But I always felt like people of color be related to the Lion King and then like Goofy, right? No, wait. Tevin Campbell, come on, right? Am I the only one who felt like.
I don't know.
All right, maybe I'm. I don't know.
I think the only people who thought that were you and Bebe's kids.
Honestly, good one, John.
Thank you. That was
honestly,
wow.
That was a good one.
Good one. Okay.
No, hear me out. I will give that credit because I honestly was engaged in the conversation, and how he did it fit. You know what, Nick? Please start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood said it.
Is Robin Harris grumbling?
What?
No, it's Tone Loc. How do you say his name?
Tone Loc.
Tone
yeah.
Loc.
Tone Loc. Oh, Tone Loc.
That's the
it's
baby.
It's him. It's the. And then I was also the.
That was also the flies. Honestly, James, that was very weird of you.
Yeah, that was strange.
That was a very weird one.
I don't know if I liked it.
That was. I feel uncomfortable, James.
Welcome. For those of you who don't know, my name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Draw Milligan.
My name. Oh, God. I'm still him. I'm still.
Yeah, we get it.
We get it. Just do it.
You guys get it? Because I'm still him.
Did you just say your name? Did you say it? Did I miss it? Did he say his name?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Goodness. Why do we even try?
On this podcast, we review films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of Hollywood, racism, and diversity in Hollywood. I mean, just straight up racism. I usually don't say that, but it's true.
I mean, we live in a world that people just say straight up racist shit.
I say the context of race and diversity in Hollywood, but this time I said Hollywood and racism in Hollywood.
Honestly, good for you.
And maybe I said that just subconsciously because... was thinking about that subconsciously because we are reviewing the film Bebe's Kids, which is a 1992 animated feature, and it has the distinguished title of the first animated film in the history of cinema that had an all-Black cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I will say this.
Yeah, don't be surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I mean,
right.
The first and maybe like one Last. Of the five.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what other ones we got? Princess and the Frog?
Princess and the Frog, I guess. Or...
And? Well, that was fun. That was a fun moment that we all just had right there.
There has to be more.
There's got to be, right?
Not Moses Jones. Like, nope, not that movie. Not the one, not Shark Tale, Will Smith. Nope.
Wait, Osmosis Jones doesn't count because he's blue?
Well, no. Wait, I'm saying Chris Rock is the lead, but everyone else, like the cast isn't black. Like, I think he might be the only...
Oh, yeah. But then also, is the cast of Princess and the Frog black or no?
Well, no, you're right.
Oh, no. Wow.
I really think
it's the early one. Because if we're doing that, then...
Well, this is...
Maybe not all black, but just like majority black?
Well... The
but I think this Firefly, this cast was all black though, I think.
The Firefly definitely ain't black.
Or for the most part black.
This is sad.
Anyway, oof. Majority black.
Yeah, majority.
Black
majority.
Leads.
Yeah, black leads has majority of the cast.
What other animated films has black leads?
How many?
Like the leads are black. Prison the Frog. I mean, we have people of color, right? Because we had Coco and Moana.
Oh yeah, we had Coco and Moana.
Right.
But then black.
I don't know.
It's just like
sometimes I feel like Hollywood's like we will get. I'm not gonna. Say
I guess
that.
You're right. Like shark, it has like Shark Tale and Osmosis Jones, but they're just it's a fish and a white blood cell.
But even then,
but he's a black.
They're clearly black. But
but he's a white blood cell.
But everyone else, like Angelina Jolie, I think is in Shark Tale, and like it's clearly. I think even in Osmosis Jones, he has his own.
But what about where we
Jordans.
See like black people in animated films?
Incredibles, there was one.
Right.
Yeah.
There's one in Incredibles.
And I think one of the kids in Monster House.
Right. I'm
yeah. I mean, you know, and then the dragon.
Oh, Mulan. Goofy. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, there's none in. Wait. All right, are we in like a Pixar movie? First of all, why was Princess and the Frog not a Pixar? Fuck it. What are we doing?
It was the last hand drawn.
We hadn't did a hand drawn one in 10 years.
Anyway, we talked about that movie already. We're going to talk about Bebe's Kids. Bebe's Kids. It made $8 million.
It cost like 10, right?
Probably cost 10. They don't know how much it really cost, but it probably cost 10. It's based on a stand-up comics stand-up routine. Yeah.
And this is the thing.
Robin Harris.
The thing for people who don't know who Robin Harris is, you definitely know him if you ever seen House Party. He plays Kid's dad in the original House Party movie. So he's legit funny. He passed away while this movie was making.
Yeah.
So Donald Faison, who you also probably know as
Faison Love.
Faison Love, sorry. Faison Love, who you probably know as I'm referencing all 90s stuff. If you watch Real Husbands of Hollywood, he's on it, he's a bigger guy.
He's an elf.
Yes. That's he's the big, boss. He's the boss and elf.
He's the boss and elf.
And he's in Friday. He plays
he's in Friday.
What's his
big
name?
Worm.
Big Worm. He's Big Worm in Friday. He's really funny. He should be way
He's great.
Than
he's in a lot of movies. He was really in a lot of movies.
He's on that Kevin Hart show right now.
Oh, okay.
He's like one of the comedians that's one of the cast now. So he's really good. Tone Loc, Baby Got Back. Tone Loc wasn't that song. He had another song that was. I'm gonna figure it out.
I can't remember what his music was. I only know him from movies, but I remember hearing his songs.
But you know him from Blank Check. That's what you know him from.
No,
him from Ace Ventura.
I know him from C-Bear and Jamal. Y'all remember that on Fox?
What?
Fox used to be so black back in the day. So yeah, Fox, we all know, had Martin. They had the John Leguizamo show. But when they did their cartoons in the afternoon, because, you know, back in the day, cartoons, they had like a cartoon block from like 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. So they had this cartoon called C-Bear and Jamal. So Jamal was like a kid. And I think, let me make sure I get it right. And it was a hip hop show. So let me give you the synopsis. I'm only bringing it up because I think it is relevant to what we're doing. It was an animated show back in 1996. It was this kid named Jamal who had a teddy bear who would come to life and who could like sing and rap. And his name was C-Bear. It's basically Ted. It's just Ted.
Oh, wow.
It's straight up Ted. But C-Bear and Jamal. The thing that made it so dope is that the logo for it was so 90s. It had like the African print. It had the colors and it had like the leopard. It was like so black and so hip hop that I loved it. C-Bear and Jamal. I'll never forget it. All right.
I don't know what else to say.
Want me to read the synopsis of what
we should? I mean, it's the oh yeah, the whole stand-up routine is simply, you know, he wants to go out on a date with this woman, Jamaica, but she's like, well, you got to take me and my son to Disneyland, and he's like, okay, but then when he pulls up. You know, there are three other kids, and he's like, who are these kids? And she's like, them Bebe's kids. And he's like, who's Bebe? And he's like, she's my friend. Anyway, let's go.
Yo.
And so Bebe's kids are rambunctious, they're rowdy, they're out of control, you know, and they're tearing up the amusement park, you know, and he's also paying all this money, and he's just like, he's got to deal with Bebe's kids.
It reminds me of, if anyone's seen the Bernie Mac show, which is based off of Bernie Mac's bit from The Kings of Comedy, which is interesting because if you heard his bit is definitely way more aggressive and like way more Bebe's kids-esque than how the kids are portrayed on the show. Like in the movie, the little baby girl, in the movie, in Kings of Comedy, when he describes a little baby girl, she's a terror. Like she's the boss, but in the show, she's like super nice. Whereas with this comic bit with Robin Harris, I feel like they kind of keep the kids as close to how he describes them as possible, especially definitely. The baby.
Yeah. He describes the baby as always pooping when he talks.
Yeah, just always. I do my initial thoughts first because right. I'm the one who forced
Let's
us to watch this.
Let's do initial thoughts.
All right. So for people who know, I grew up in Southeast DC. And the thing is, I remember I was still pretty young when this movie came out. So I remember seeing it years later on like VHS, I guess. But I remember it because at this point we hadn't moved out of DC yet. And the kids in this movie were hood kids. Like straight up hood kids. The neighborhood he was in was the hood. The way the old men talk at the beginning of the movie. He picks her up at a funeral.
Yeah. Like they're playing dominoes.
Yeah, they're playing dominoes.
At a funeral.
They're playing dominoes. And they're doing it like in the kitchen. Whereas like I have been to places where the old dudes or even women will be playing dominoes or spades in the kitchen while the kids would be somewhere else. So to me, it was like, I got this movie a lot. And I got it because it's something I think, Bray, you bring up a lot.
Yeah.
Her son is kind of like at first lame because he's not as hood as everyone else, even though he's still from the hood. And for me, I related to that kid because I was from the hood, but I liked comics and Batman and shit. And I wasn't, I'd be on the, my mom would let me go outside, but I didn't get to like, people would just hang out on the block and sit on cars. Not their car, but they'd be just sitting on the trunk of someone's car just having a conversation. And my mom would be the mom screaming at me, get your ass off that car. Or don't you, she might not curse, but she's like, get off that car, don't touch that car. So I was the kid with the whatever.
Right.
So I related to that kid so much, trying to get the acceptance of the hood kids. Because like we all were from the hood, but you weren't as hood as them.
Right.
But there were no white people around to be like, oh, I'm not with y'all. So it was just like, where do you go? So when I watched, even watching it now again.
Dave Chappelle actually talks about this recent stand-up.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, it's like, it's such a weird situation to be in. And even watching it now, it's like, I saw the movie differently, but as an adult, it's like when they actually talk about the kids and they make sure that Tamika gives him a speech on like who these kids are.
Yeah.
It's not their fault this is happening to them. Because a lot of time when you think about kids in the projects, best example, I think about the opioid epidemic and I think about the crack epidemic. How America and everyone else are handling like these white kids in their situation and how people handle, I grew up in the crack epidemic in DC. How people handled like us. It wasn't the same, man. Right. People looked at us weird. If I wore a hood, like I used to have
Not just the crackheads.
Not just the crackheads. I'm talking about just the kids.
Yeah.
The way people just spoke to us, like, I mean, I remember I had a gray hoodie that had purple on it. It was very 90s. It was very bright, but it wasn't hood colors.
Right.
I remember walking into a Kmart and a woman in the Kmart, my mom let me go to the toy section and a lady in the Kmart being like, where's your chaperone? What are you doing? Because I was looking at, I was looking at Batman and Power Rangers toys. And I remember her making a big deal of it. And I remember her not leaving. She actively did not leave. Right. Didn't even try to hide the fact that
she was
doing
watching.
Something else. Just didn't do it. And when they approached this kid, the moment he walked into Funland, I was like, I know this feeling. Like, yeah, you may look a certain way, but y'all judging me before I even do shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. This movie is very silly, so I know we're going to get to the silliness of it. But even watching it now, it just brought back of
how you related to it.
Yeah, it's like how we still treat kids like this. Like,
What did you think of it when you were a kid, though?
The thing is, I don't remember. Like, as a kid, I remember liking it and being like, oh, this is a dope movie. But I knew it was a hood. I knew it was black. I knew everyone didn't like this movie. And I was very, I knew where I watched it.
Yeah.
I was in the hood when I watched it. And I knew it was for people like us. I knew that. And I knew Robin Harris because of House Party. And to me, even nowadays, I think about, I was on the train recently, and I'm going to wrap up shortly. But they were like these bunch of white kids. And I got off the train, and these white kids, two white dudes, young white boys, just ran past me, running their asses off. And at no point did I think, the fuck they running from? But yesterday, I was in the city, and these two young black dudes were running, just like running. And I was like, oh, shit. And like you saw everyone look up like, what just happened?
Right.
What did they do? And it's like, wow, we still do that shit.
Yeah, of course.
So I related to this animated movie in a way that's very weird.
Kids.
But yeah, that's my, I liked it.
So. It's funny, like my initial thoughts were, at first I was getting annoyed and upset because I thought this movie was for kids. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like, wait, I was like, what rating is this movie? And then I looked it up and I saw it was PG-13. I was like, oh, okay, like maybe this wasn't exactly like targeted for children. Though it does have like some animated like things happen, like some of the humor feels like kids' humor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And some is straight adult.
But the content is like, a lot of the content is very adult. Mm-hmm. And the movie starts with him like, you know, drinking at a bar, like getting drunk and like, you know, at a funeral home, all these old men, they're
smoking,
like clearly like sexually harassing this woman.
Yep.
And like, it's just like, I was like, what is, I was like, come on. But the more I watch it, and especially the moment when he goes back to the kids where they live, and you know, their mom's not, Bebe's not home, their mom's not home, they got no food, they're like sat, like their place is a mess, like, you know, it's just like completely run down and stuff, and like where they live in the projects, like the building they live in is all messed up, yeah. And there's like people stealing and all this stuff, and you're just like, this place isn't safe, like, you know, it sucks that this is how they're growing up, and then you're like, it completely humanizes them. It was such a great moment in the movie. You know, I was already somewhat enjoying it before that scene even happened, but like that part of the movie specifically made me go, man, this movie is pretty great. Like, it's really, it's touching on things that it was like this fun, rambunctious, like, you see rowdy, like, kids being bad. And I realized this too. I was like, why am I so upset that they're portraying these black kids as like, you know, why is the word hooligan coming up? Or thug, like little thugs or hooligans. Why are those words coming up when I'm watching them run amok around this? I was like, white kids do this all the time.
All the time.
Dennis the Menace, Home Alone, like,
they're bad kids.
They're bad kids.
They're legit bad kids.
It's like, oh, so many of children's movies are just like little white kids like messing with adults and like doing bad things. And like, but then at the end of the day, like the Little Rascals, like it's like all that stuff. But I'm not looking at those kids going like those hooligans, those like freaking thugs. Like, I'm like, haha, kids.
Well, I think you know what I mean? I think there's a big difference. And just jump in, I'm gonna let you finish. It's like, I don't think, especially in America, we view black kids as kids.
Right.
Which is why, for instance, like, there's so many cases where kids, legit kids, are being tried as adults.
Right.
Because they just don't view, like, we don't get the, it's interesting because how you say that, it's like, I feel like we don't have a chance to have fun and just figure out shit. Like, think about one of the movie, A Christmas Story, which people consider one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time. All he ever wants is a BB gun.
Right.
That little white boy wants a BB gun. If a black kid touches a BB gun, and we know this as fact, he will be killed. Mm-hmm. We know it. If he goes in the store, holds it.
We've seen it.
If we see him at a bus stop.
We've seen multiple videos.
Footage of it.
Multiple footage.
A child. But I'm pretty sure if it was a white kid with that BB gun, same one. You would have understood it was
a kid. Nobody would have even
stuff.
Called the cops in the first place. Oh, I'm scared. This kid has a gun.
And sorry, guys. I just want
no,
to say, like,
you're
we
right.
Just don't see
no, you're
kids.
Right. But I was like, I literally, like, even there's a moment in the movie, too, where I think the kids are actually portrayed as a little bit, like, you feel, because of the way they're talking and they're rapping, and, like, yes, of course, like, they're a little bit more mature than they would be because it's animated film. But that happens in most animated films or most movies. You have kids, like, acting really mature even when they're not, you know what I mean, like, and they're kind of being a little more mature, and then all these other kids come, and they're all different races, but, like, you know, they're white kids too, and, like, when the other kids come, there's like an innocent, like a pure kind of innocence about them, and they're like following Bebe's kids, like Bebe's kids becomes their leader, and they're like, oh, these kids are awesome, and they're like, but when they were doing it, I was like, I was like, as I was watching the movie, I'm like, I'm seeing these children. They're all doing the same thing. And I'm seeing Bebe's kids differently than I'm seeing all these other kids because of my own conditioning of growing up. But also, even in the movie, how other people have been treating Bebe's kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, it's a lot. So it's funny. Like, there are times in the movie where I wanted to be mad. And then there are times where I was like, but why am I? I was like, but no, this is real. Like, it's like, this
the
is
kids.
Real life. Oh, man. Yeah, this movie is actually much deeper.
Right?
It's super deep. It's super deep. Anyway, that's a lot. I said a lot, James.
So that was, I think that is the biggest thing that I took away from watching it now as an adult and as a film critic. But, like, this movie has so many levels to it, so many layers. So I'll start with as a kid first.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should Payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin.
Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get Earnin, you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies. Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, first of all, I didn't see it when I was really small. I probably didn't see it all the way through for the first time until a few years ago, all the way through. But as a little kid, like, I remember everybody in the neighborhood would always be like, "Oh, what's that funky smell?" And then insert whoever it is. "Is that you?" Being called a Bebe's kid. Like was like an insult. You didn't want to be one of Bebe's kids. But then it was, and it felt, I remember it feeling like, as a kid, I remember it feeling like it was a cartoon, but it felt like it was like, oh no, but that's a grown up cartoon. I remember feeling that. So that,
yeah. Oh, and it was.
Then, yeah, it was.
And
then, sure.
Watching it and then watching it as a kid, I remember it really standing out. What's the main kid's name? The one that's not Baby's kids.
Oh, the son. I don't even remember the son's name.
Yeah. So the son, I just remember
Leon,
the son,
I think, right?
Grabbing his crotch and that being like taboo. I remember that standing out as being, those are all my kid memories. As an adult though, everything that you guys are saying, like all of that stuff resonated very strongly for me and realizing like how many layers this movie actually has. Like, I think that it's really great and I had a really great time watching it. And I'll talk about specific stuff as we go through it.
I just want to say something about just the names of these kids.
Oh my God.
Like the names of these kids are so, like Leon for sure, but LaShawn, Pee-wee.
Oh yeah.
And I can't even pronounce the other one. Cahill? I can't even pronounce the other kid's name.
Cahill, yeah. Leon is the son.
Yeah. And this is my.
Right. And then, yeah.
No, the thing is about this, I just want to talk about since now we're done initial thoughts, is that this movie was, to me, in the best sense of the phrase, a black film. It was like, this movie was targeted to people who don't get to see what represents them on screen or in cartoons. I mean, we sat here at the cold open and tried to think of other movies that are predominantly black cast that are animated. I mean, how hard was that? But this movie right here was made, it was like FUBU. It was made for us. It was by us. And it was like, you know what? It was cool that someone tried it.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool that someone tried it. Like, I don't know how the promotion was for it or like how many theaters it was in when we were younger, but it was cool that this movie existed and the fact that, for instance, Robin Harris at that time, because of Def Comedy Jam and because of, what was it? House Party. Apparently, he was hot. Like, apparently he was hot.
He was really hot. They actually, apparently this movie was supposed to, was actually going to be a live action
movie. It should have been.
It was going to be a live action movie, but because he passed away, you know, they were like, well, we can't do it, obviously. You know, the producer, who was his friend, like wanted to keep doing it. And so they decided to turn it into an animated film so they could still do it. And I think they wrote it with it because they wanted to honor his bit. So like, you know, pretty faithfully. Mm. I think they wrote it in mind just thinking that it was for adults. And they like, then it was asked for them to tone it down. So like, it could have been actually even like more explicit. And then it was toned down. But it wasn't toned down enough to be a family movie. You know, it was still PG-13, and you know, you gotta realize this is the time like Simpsons are out, and like there are so, especially like, you know, the religious right and like the MPAA, like just like all those like parents, like this was still like a little bit more conservative time in America, so nobody liked the, like people like didn't like the Simpsons. They were like trying to protest it because it was a cartoon that was like, you know, where the Bart was being disrespectful and cursing
and choked by his dad. I remember choked that.
And like, and they were like, kids are going to watch this because it's a cartoon, but it's not for that. It's not for kids. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Bebe's kids. They were like, this movie is terrible. It's a terrible example because, you know, he's drinking alcohol and, you know, they're hitting on women and they're like, you know, there's like sexual innuendo and also the kids are
bad as hell.
You know, they're bad and like, you know,
that's interesting.
Yeah. It kind of, and I didn't realize why they were showing the clips of his stand up in the beginning. I was like, this is weird. And then I realized, oh, it's because he passed away and they were kind of honoring him.
Yeah.
Like,
which I thought was so cool and interesting because it's so funny you said that. I think this would have been a real good, even as we talk about it, I'm like, man, you could make this now. It would be fire. Like, if you made it, and like, if you made the kids like real crazy, real raunchy, like, this could be such a funny movie. But it's cool because to me, It did honor him because they kept his bits. I love the fact that this animated movie opened out of like, bruh.
First it's him it opens with him in the bar.
Oh, that's right, the bar.
Just getting drunk.
Yeah.
Like bar. And with the blind bartender, which I thought was funny, like a Mr. Magoo bartender. He was just like, hey, man, what's going on, buddy? You know, you got to tell me whatever.
I remember that.
Oh, man.
I just love seeing him at that table, dude. That folding table in the kitchen. Like, it's so funny. One of my boys back home just got a house, and he didn't have, like, he just moved in, didn't have a lot of stuff. I was like, yo, let's go to Kmart. I was like, I got you. Went to Kmart, bought a folding, like, legit, almost the same way you see in that cartoon. I got the little square folding table and some folding chairs, baby. It's like, yo, this is what we're going to do all our business right here at this table. And it's like, you don't get to see that, man.
Yeah.
And like, not even just outside of a comedy, but to me, it's like when you have, there's been movies that we have reviewed, some we haven't, that we've talked about how it represents people in the hood. One which we didn't do. And it's like, this movie shows you those people, and it even has one of the characters cast judgment upon them, But you see it change, and you see, like, to me, it's so dope to see somebody coming in thinking, oh, these kids ain't shit. They're just hoodlums. Like, they're running around. They have no manners. They don't know what to do. But then learn more about them. And we're doing that in a cartoon?
Right.
Like, when have we done that in live action? Without some white person going to the hood and trying to save the kids. You know?
I like that the kids were somewhat the focal point, too. They became the focal point of the movie. And they have, like, this whole adventure. And I was kind of trying to think about, you know, what are the things that, like, it didn't bother me, but there were, it didn't bother me because of what this film was, but I was like, oh, man, it would be cool, though, to see a bunch of black kids do what, like, white kids get to do in a bunch of these family kind of kids movies, which is they're, like, rambunctious, and they're funny, and they're, like, causing mayhem, but then at the end of the day, they're, like, saving something, right? Like, in Home Alone, like, Macaulay Culkin is like at the end of like he's a menace, you know, to his family or whatever. But at the end of the day, he like saves his home from getting, you know, robbed or you know, like the same with like all those other movies. They're always like even like the Blank Check movie. Know what I mean? Like it's like he's running amok with all this money. But then at the end of the day, he's like going to say like there's always
Richie
like,
Richie saves the day. Too.
Richie saves the day. Like it's just like, you know, the kids like save the day. Like it's like a fun thing.
Yeah.
And like, in this movie, like they like, I guess in a way they save the day for like all the other kids. They like free them from like this boring ride that they're all on. But like, there's not like, I don't know. It didn't feel the same in a way. Like there was like one of those. I was like, oh man, it would be cool if like they find out
something great. Like like
I don't
heroic.
Know
heroic. If they did something like outside of themselves. But
like their big thing at the end was just to cause the most mayhem and like blow up the world. Though they kept dropping these lines of like, I really liked like the subtle and not so subtle jabs at theme parks where they just like, oh, you're taking all my money and like they have all these rules and like
I loved all that.
That was so good.
I loved all that.
All of that was so good.
I guess we just talk about beats, I guess.
Yeah.
Since we're in the first, I liked how Robin and what's her name? It's not Tamika, is it? It's with Tamika.
Jamaica.
How they meet because
Robin is
he's the and it's interesting because I don't know, I've been around women from around the way, or as I would normally say around the way, and like there's a beautiful vulnerability, but also such a toughness, and it's so intertwined that it's crazy. So the moment that they're at the table, she walks through, because women know, like, you're a beautiful woman, you're about to walk past a bunch of dudes, I feel like you're already gearing up to like your guards are already up because you're walking past dudes, and we all know men ain't shit. But when that guy makes that comment, they still gave her the moment of that quick turnaround, the stank face, like, better stop playing with me. And to me, like, that felt very authentic to the women that I know.
Right.
Like, that feels very authentic.
Like, that look had so much subtext. Like, at a funeral, like, she was saying all of those lines, even though she didn't say those lines, you know?
But that feels real. That feels like if I was to approach somebody, like, here in the streets, or if someone, like, again, my family's mostly women, and they're all from D.C., that's how they would treat you. It's like, who are you talking to?
Right.
And I like that even when he finally chased after her, like, you know, she was flirty, still wasn't a complete pushover at first. And even when she got in the car, there's a moment where she slams on the brakes and she's like, what is all this you talking? Because he's like, why are you giving me a ride? You don't even know if I'm some murderer or something. And then she jams on the brakes like, are you like,
you trying to tell me something?
Yeah, like legit. And I'd love that moment happened because you don't get those type of acknowledged moments in movies.
Right.
Like, you don't. Like, we read so many movies where we talk about, like, if it is about the black man, for instance, the woman has no urgency. Like, she doesn't defend herself. And in those two scenes alone, to me, it's one, her giving a nonverbal acknowledgement of, like, hey, you better stop playing those games. And then two, even though, you know, she may have did it as a joke or whatever, but it's still saying, hey, let me talk on that crazy shit in my car. It's like, you know, and I... I'm very fascinated how they played her, because I was shocked to see her be presented in a way that was honestly with more care and concern than I've seen live action movies give black women.
Right.
So I like that a lot. And the only thing I didn't like, I'm like, man, you about to just show up on no date. First, it was two things she did that I didn't think was gonna happen. One, you can just let some random man you just met play with your kid immediately. Like, ain't nobody doing that. Most single moms that I know, they don't hide their kids, but they never bring their kids around the person because they don't want their kids getting attached or having to explain who this guy is. You don't know if this guy's gonna be around. Like, once this guy is in your life, he is now in your kid's life. You ain't just doing that. I get it as a cartoon, but I was like, y'all had me till she did that bullshit. Because I'm like, all right, lady.
I mean, it's based on Robin Harris's true account.
Oh, yeah, completely. And I also laughed at the fact that on the date, she just bought 3 random kids and $20.
I mean, that was hilarious.
And that's, 20. Maybe they gave that's, $20.
That's one of the, that's like the pitch line of the movie. Yeah. Is this like, who are these kids? Them baby's kids.
Like, who baby?
Baby. Like, oh, don't worry about that. That's baby's kids.
Like, wait, who are these?
Don't worry. She gave $20 to go to Disney World?
Yo, $20.
$20? She goes there. It's like $200.
Bruh.
I love that he was like, one, two.
Don't act like you don't want it. Don't act like you don't want it.
Yeah, don't act like you don't want it.
Go ahead, take
it. All the rules.
Then the coupons.
Yo, one of the rules was, one of the rules was no introspective thinking.
Yes, I wrote that down. That was so funny. And then the one right after it, too, is also very funny. I didn't write that one down because I was still laughing at no introspective thoughts. But it's like, you're like not allowed to, go to the park and be and exist real. You know, you're not allowed to, have a real moment at this park.
One of them was like, you can't be mad at the manufactured fun everyone's
yes,
having.
Yes. That line I remember.
There was just
yo,
it was
that
oh
line
my
is,
god
that line
amazing.
Is so good is because Francis like that line to me relates because again like everybody like people know like I got off of Instagram and it's solely because of that. It's literally because it feels so fake and forced. I'm like this ain't real. And then the mere fact that line in 1992 is don't be mad at the manufactured fun that people are having. It's like come on dude, in a kids movie, theoretically a kids movie.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. There was so much. I mean, the kids are crazy.
The kid.
Yeah.
There was a kid. So.
They're so.
I bring him up. I bring him up all the time. I never say his name because he may listen to the podcast. There was a kid I grew up with who always had my back, but definitely like this was the kid my mom probably didn't want me hanging around. His mom knew it because he was bad. Like he was bad as shit.
Right.
Like again, I haven't seen him. He was in jail. I looked him up and like he was in jail.
Right.
So, you know, and I remember him being like the kid with the hoodie and I guess he was quote unquote bad, but it was the thing of like, I remember him in particular because there wasn't like a dad figure, but also because he did like one thing wrong once. And I remember that he did one thing wrong once. Mm-hmm. He was always labeled as bad.
Wow.
Like I remember it. He may have actually did something that helped someone else out, but he ended up getting in trouble for it and became like the bad kid. And I remember watching him transition into the bad kid, which to me, I always think about Frankenstein. And like, if you read the actual book, Frankenstein's Monster, the whole point of him was that he was innocent. He was a very kind person until society put whatever they...
Well, they were scared of him.
They were scared and they called him monster. They said mean things to him. They did these things, which made him react a certain way. And I think about underprivileged people, like whether they're black, whether they're like Latino, and you grow up in a world where people just shit on you so much, and it's like
until you're terrible,
until you're
bad,
you react differently. You react it's
you start to believe it. I mean, like if not consciously, subconsciously, there's a part of you that's like, oh, I guess I'm not.
I guess it's how it is.
Yeah,
I guess is what people expect, and if you don't know anything different because everyone around you is acting that way, it's like how do you know to act differently? And I was so happy that they had this kid. The kid Leon in the movie, because even though he was different, they never called him white, which I think like the movie was kind of honing him, but they never did it.
Yeah.
Because he still was from the hood, but they never called him white.
Right. I like that.
And I thought that was very interesting. I actually thought about you because you bring that up. Like when you grew up, And it's just a weird way to divide black people again.
Yeah, divide black people against each other too. I know, it's a weird, it's the, oh man. I also wanted to talk, that was great what you just said, but I also remembered very like, almost like cavalierly, they like had a scene where he gets pulled over by the cops.
Yes.
He gets pulled over by the cop and he just.
So good.
He just walks out of the car and immediately puts his hands on the hood.
And the cop pats him down.
And the cop pats him down. And he's like, you got any dope in there? Like,
and then he goes to the woman. And then she like, and again, he basically tries to hit on Jamaica, and she's like, don't even. And goes to the kids. Instantly goes to those kids and frown. And this is a night. Yo, I know we say this a lot on this podcast. And again, I will never just demonize all cops. But this is fucking 1992, yo. Like, people keep acting like this thing with cops just happened 2-3 years ago.
Right.
With Trayvon, I'm like, this is 92. And in 92, it was old. You know what I'm saying? In 92, people were tired of it. Like, this isn't an. Think about how bad that situation had to be for an animated movie to put that little nugget in it.
Actually.
Yeah. I mean, and then the scene right after this, the second they get to the park, the park security just walks up to Cahill and they're like, look, we got trouble. Look at this trouble we got over here.
He's drinking from the water fountain.
Anything. He goes to get water.
He legit says, I'm drinking.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
No, yeah. But that moment happened like, so where I grew up in DC, we had a place called Adventure World, which ended up being brought out by Six Flags. So it ended up becoming like Six Flags of America. I mean, I don't know what it was, Six Flags something. But in this scene is like when the park ended, you know, was it even at night? I don't even think it was nighttime yet. Maybe it was a Sunday and it just closed early. So like, you know, young people, like we all were in high school, everyone would kind of just chill outside the gates for a little bit.
Yeah.
Depending on whether somebody drove, we waiting for parents to, you know, pick you up. But in DC, like go-go music was very big. So it was like very heavy percussion. Like if you, like you could technically make like a drum beat on your, like with your hands if you just had a trash can.
Right.
And like people would start dancing and partying. I never get it. So as this group is forming, no one has done anything yet. Like there's no fight, no loudness, nothing. Like one dude just starts banging on the drums and then people come over. And I remember you see the security slowly start like creeping around. And then now, people are like partying, like, hey, like people are rapping and shit. And this security guards just started pepper spraying the crowd.
What?
Pepper spraying. These are kids, bruh. These are like,
why?
We all were, because we were congregating. And mind you, it is outside the park a little bit. So people are legit waiting for parents. Like, it's not even that. It wasn't even like we're there 30 minutes after the park. First time I've ever been pepper sprayed. People just pepper sprayed the whole crew.
Oh my
God. There's women, there are girls in this thing.
What did they even say? Did they give warnings?
Well, this is the thing. I'm not sure because people were partying. Like, right. So people are like, hey.
You couldn't hear it.
So like if they did, no one heard it.
Right.
But they never came into the group.
Right.
So it was just like when they pulled this kid up, they hovered behind him for a little bit and then like just grabbed him up. In real life, they hovered behind us and just pepper sprayed everybody.
Wow. Bro.
Like, and even if someone doesn't pepper spray you in the eye, you still choke, you know? You got a bunch of kids, high school kids,
holy
just
crap.
Choking. And I'm just thinking, oh, again, this movie came out in 1992. That happened to me when I was in high school in the early 2000s. And it's the same shit.
Yep.
God.
That was crazy.
How does the world not learn from mistakes of the world? Anyway.
What I did... Oh, wait. We got... We had to talk about the rapping though.
Oh, the rapping?
Yeah, because there were like five rap songs.
There were a lot of raps. I was like, and I did not remember the raps. I didn't remember that.
My biggest issue with it is I did remember the raps. My biggest issue with it though was that the first one is so bad.
It's with Robin Harris,
isn't
right?
The first one. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's Bebe's kids. Who is it? It's Bebe's kids. What? We got Bebe's kids.
Oh, you mean the theme? The theme song?
This is now more 1982 than the actual movie was. That's what it felt like.
No, it did.
It just felt very like, you know, it just, that first one I didn't like. But then the other, as I feel like they get better as you go through the movie.
I the thing is, I wasn't the biggest fan, but now that I'm thinking about it, now that John's brought it up, the last two that I remember both had messages in them.
Yes, that's true. The last one I really liked.
Yeah, the Freedom one.
Yeah.
They definitely had like a message. And I'm like, you know what? I can't remember the earlier ones, but the last two, I'm like, oh, they were, this movie was saying something.
It was trying to say stuff.
The movie was saying something. Yeah. It was trying to. And I mean, that last thing, the last one literally is this kid talking about don't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole setup.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because if you think about even how they set that up, they set it up is they put that kid on trial.
His defense lawyer is Abraham Lincoln,
who is telling you
robots put him on trial.
Oh, robots put him on trial. I know. I loved how they had artificial intelligence in this movie that were so woke that not woke. Sorry, not woke in our
sentient
context.
Yeah,
so sentient that they like took Bebe's kids and they were like, you killed one of us. We condemn you to death. They were going to electrocute him.
Yeah.
They're going to kill him.
They had him in water at one point.
In water.
Until Lincoln with the head thing on.
With the head thing on, hooked up, and the other robot had an electric circuit that like kept buzzing. He was going to
electrocute. The main robot was the Terminator.
It was the Terminator.
That first robot.
But what's so interesting?
They were going to electrocute
a kid.
I mean, think about what that, like, they weren't even being subtle. They were like, yeah, in our country, we kill black boys. We put them on trial as men and kill them.
They put him on trial for doing the same shit that the other kids do. Like, I'm saying not the other kids, but like the playing around.
I loved this movie as a kid. The only thing that stood out to me in this sequence was that he grabbed his crotch. Watching it as an adult, I was like,
My
mouth was agape. I could the whole scene because there's just so many. It's just like message.
But
it's crazy.
But no, but that's so it's so interesting. It's like John, I didn't even think about that. It's like this kid was about to be killed for basically playing around and fucking something up at a park. But he's about to be
like Trayvon Martin was murdered for.
Technically, we still don't know.
Yeah, because he looked suspicious, and they were just people try to justify it because he like took a bag of Skittles.
But at the end of the day. Aren't they? Didn't he pay for it?
Yeah, I was just. It's just him. They just look. I mean, they keep. They'll go back and they'll be like. They justify it with like he did this bad thing, and you're like, okay, and that's deserving of murder.
Yeah,
even what are you trying to say?
Like, what do we like?
This kid deserves to die because he like broke a freaking animatronic robot.
Yo, can I tell you something that's making me mad now? The fact that we're having this conversation is honestly. The last couple episodes, probably one of the deepest conversations we had about like children and just being honestly like black in America from a 1992 kids movie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the movies we see now. Like the movie that I thought we were going to have this kind of conversation was Mudbound. We didn't.
Right.
Because the black people in that movie weren't given the decency to have a human base level. Like they just weren't. This movie used... a robotic Abraham Lincoln and a fake RoboCop to discuss...
And a robotic Richard Nixon.
Yeah, Richard Nixon and a robotic bear to discuss how we judge black kids.
Right.
And it's just fascinating to me that these movies nowadays where there are black people, we still don't... It's either about us being beaten down, like whether it's a slave movie, it's either about us like having to be saved by somebody, it's either about someone having to come to the hood to save us again, but we still never get to the fact that we're humans.
I hear what you're saying. Like, this movie did it in a way that was entertaining and fun, and it was deep, but, like, it wasn't the crux of the movie.
Yes.
The crux of the movie is just, like, a bunch of...
Bad kids.
bad kids go to run amok at a theme park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And what I really respect that the movie, like, the movie doesn't, even though they don't do it in a, like, in a way that feels forced, right? Mm-hmm. They still do it in a very direct way. You know, it's very much like, we're not going to shy away from this message. They do even call out that they're having fun in the same way that the white kids are having fun. But, like, for whatever reason, they're Bebe's kids,
right?
You know, in the derogatory sense. And then also, but I love that it's not just like, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Jerah, but it's not just like how white people view black people, but then also they have the, they allow us to have the moment where Robin Harris goes to the apartment. So it's like, it's also black people viewing other black people, you know, it's like, it's how everyone judges.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Cause you go and like,
I think it's awesome.
And, yeah. And when he comes back, Tamika's like, this is what I was trying to tell you. You were trying to blame Bebe. You were saying, oh, these kids are so bad because Bebe, you know, runs amok. Like, she's, like, not taking care of her children and raising them properly. Oh, by the way, how come you're not blaming the father? And he's like, well, I mean, she had him with that father. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like we're putting all the blame on the mom. Why? It's like the mom at least is trying to raise these kids.
And she's probably gone working.
You know what I mean? She's working all the time, trying to raise three children on probably like with no money. Like she doesn't have enough money to like feed them. You know what I mean? It's like it, you know, and they were trying to blame Bebe. I mean, it's that thing. Everybody's like, oh, those are Bebe's kids. These are the bad kids. And like, and it's fun. But then the movie also shows you like, but at the end of the day, like, society has like turned their backs. Like, yeah, sure, there's personal responsibility to be taken with parents, but this society that we live in has placed the mom, Bebe, and her children in such a dire situation that it actually sometimes doesn't even matter how hard they work. There's no way they're rising up out of this because everything is stacked against them. In this like really bad way, like they need help and they don't have the help because guess what, all the other people in their community, a lot of them are in very similar situations. They don't have enough, right? So it was like, it, you know, man, that moment was so, it was
tough because you notice when he pulled up to the house, he looks at the house and goes and he makes a comment like basically realizing what's happening. And then when you go inside that house, it's a thing of, man, it's so, could you, the thing is, they don't actually say the ages, but I'm assuming all these kids are under 11 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
I think the baby's like three, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so they're all like small. Could you imagine writing off a person that young, writing off their entire life?
Right.
Like we live, I mean, not like we live to what, 80? And you're telling me at 8 or 9, I am now worthless to you? Like that's what we do to people. Like,
that's true.
At 8 or 9, you're telling me
lived a tenth of their life and you're like, they're done.
They're done. They're done. I got into an argument at a school. I probably brought this up, but I'm going to say it again because it still pisses me off to this day. At one of these career days, we were talking to kids, and this guy said, you know, I used to want to be a writer, but then, you know, life hits you, and you got to buckle down. Now I'm a lawyer. So kids, you know, sometimes you have to do what you got to do. I'm like, why the fuck would you say that to elementary school kids? Why would you come into an elementary school and where you're supposed to inspire kids and tell them, hey, you might have to buckle down and do what you got to do? And it was a white dude saying that to these, like, black kids. Like, you ain't going to go to the fucking suburbs and tell these kids that they ain't got no fucking hope.
Right,
like you literally went into a place where, yes, some of these kids, like this school is to get inner city kids, get them into college.
Yeah,
it's a raffle system. The whole point, kids start going to like going on college views. College visits at fourth grade. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
So you go into like a second, third grade class and being like, I mean, you may want to be, John, you may want to be a doctor, but sometimes, man, you might just have to be, I don't know, a dental assistant. Like, bruh. No offense with dental sense, but it's like, why would you shut my life? Like, why would you try to take my shine away like that?
Already.
And I'm looking at this movie, and I love the fact that it was Robin who judged those kids as well.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock has that famous joke, which I have thought about almost my entire life from Bigger and Blacker. Is it Bigger and Blacker, or is it the one where he's at the Kennedy Center? He has basically one bit where he talks about there's a difference between black people and niggas. And he's like, he brings it up all the time. It tells you the difference. It's Bigger and Blacker, right?
Be Bring the Pain, right?
Oh, Bring the Pain. No. You're right.
Maybe it's Bring the Pain.
It might be, but maybe I'm going back too far.
Yeah, maybe it's definitely Owen. And I'm like, I think about that a lot, Because what that means is that we have now lived in a certain world where with African-Americans, my mom was one of them. She made money and then left. And my mom didn't judge anybody, but like in leaving, in my mind, it's like when you leave the hood, it's almost saying, I got to get a better life. I got to get out of here. You know, like I've done better now, so I'm not dealing with this anymore, which is like the people who don't have. And then to me, instead of doing that, like we don't lift up any people. And it's cool to see that, like, not only do white people judge us, but now because of that judgment, we are now judging each other. And now we got to get past that. Because think about it, like we wouldn't have all these gentrified places if the black people who did make the money stayed. I know it sucks, or maybe tried to help fix it.
I know. It's tough.
Like, I don't know what I know there's no right or wrong, but it's like, I know, for instance, my neighborhood now in D.C. is not black at all.
Yeah.
I went back, I drove through it, my boy took me through it, and it was white girls at 9:30 jogging with dogs. I've never forgot the sight of that shit. I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's super gentrified, and we would never have that if maybe if, I don't know, we stayed and other people stayed, and we just like...
Yeah.
But this movie touched on that when it didn't have to.
And it did that with these kids. It also... I liked how they had that little flirtation between Leon
and the daughter.
And the daughter, the girl, and like I liked, like she kept like hitting him and like messing with him. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, Jahil was like, oh, she's only doing that because she likes you.
She likes you. She wants y'all to be together. And then they kissed and it was like they both were like.
And then she like at the end, like when she's leaving the car, he's like looking at her, like
they have a little moment.
Like, and then she like hits him again.
I remember those days.
Yeah, and then like, and then you know, I will say like the stuff with like Robin and Jamaica, like it was like just kind of that borderline, like cool, like this is a little bit dated the way like men and women relate, and like you know, it was kind of funny though. His like old ex, like trying to like. You know, there with and then her friend kept being like,
you know what that means,
right? He still loves you.
And so I forgot so many lines that I knew. I forgot that I learned that came from this movie. And even when they have that roast battle or just the moms back and forth, like I forgot that came from this. Yo, that when she threw that lotion bottle, I was like, that is one of the blackest lines ever, and I love it.
Yeah, but no, it's great. And then you know, the end is just them and like. Vegas.
Going to Vegas and fucking it up. Yeah. I mean, can I talk to Hollywood then?
Oh, you want to talk to Hollywood?
I mean, it's cool.
Okay.
I mean, this is my thing about it. It's dear Hollywood. This animated movie came out in 1992 based on a late comics stand-up bit. This movie addresses how African-American children, honestly, from an area that we love to publicize. Like, we love talking about people from the hood.
And fetishize.
We love it. We love when people say fleek. We love when like little white girls start acting black and appropriate them. Hence how we got that Cash Me Outside girl. We love that shit. But we never try to understand what makes these people tick. And you're telling me we've come to a point now where we have more outlets. Thank God The Shy is out, because I think The Shy is actually doing a lot of things that this movie attempted to do. It's like, yeah, man, we can talk about that. Just because you're from the hood doesn't mean you're nothing. Like, it just doesn't. It just does. It doesn't mean you're not smart. It doesn't mean you... This is my biggest thing about it, is that it doesn't mean you have to be exceptional. Like, every time there's a movie about somebody from the hood who makes it out, it's like they were the one black kid who was, like, the best painter, the best artist, the one who just saw things differently. Like, no, man, we got just average-ass people, too, who just live day to day, who just have families, who are just trying to do right by the people around them. And the thing is, this animated movie has done a better job of that than a lot of movies we put out in the last 20-something years. And it's a cartoon movie for kids. And that's a sad, sad thought. Like, and again, I'm going to bring it up. I think about Lady Bird, you know? I think Lady Bird is a good movie. It's very entertaining. I think that mother-daughter relationship is very cool and interesting. But I've seen so many white girl coming-of-age stories. I've seen so many white coming-of-age stories. I've seen Richie Rich. I've seen Problem Child. I've seen Dennis the Menace. I've seen these shits. And you're telling me I only got this one movie about like legit? I've seen First Kid, which is Sinbad with a white kid. Like, I've seen these things. Where's the movie with the black kid? I've seen Dustin Checks In, a white kid and a monkey. You know, like, there's been fucking 3 to 4 Home Alones. I mean, McAllister can't be at least light skinned. You know what I'm saying? Like we
the Goonies.
Like how many times? Like how many movies does that have to be before we get a kid movie where like think about John James, think about how dope it would be to have grown up and saw like I don't know a group of three boys just doing some silly shit, you know, like that look like you, you know, like we don't get that shit. Like we have the closest we have gotten right now. I'm assuming is this goddamn cartoon movie, which a lot of people haven't even seen. Half our audience right now is like, what is Bebe's Kids?
Right.
How do I find this?
I didn't know about it. I didn't say
like,
I never saw it.
What is this thing? And the fact that we have gotten to a point where now we're begging for scraps. Like, as John likes to say, we thirsty for shit. Mm-hmm. Thirsty. I want my little cousins to grow up and see like them do some shit. Like, I want
yeah.
that. I mean, we had Black Annie, but now people are calling it Black Annie.
So disrespectful.
It's so rude. Be better, Hollywood. And the thing is, it's just... Well, all this stuff happening in Hollywood, I still feel like no one's giving people of color the full force of a push that they could. I do things are better. I do think things are getting better. I get it. I see the baby steps, but I'm also like, you could change this quick, man. Not quick, but like next year, for instance, it takes 3 years for a movie to get green light. Production coming out. I be checking some of the famous actors of color. They ain't got that much crazy shit.
I know. Like, I know. It's crazy.
But anyway.
All right. Well, it's time for the call. Oh, wait. James, you want to do something?
Yeah. Well, you guys, so this is really crazy because this movie came out in 92, right?
Yep.
But as I was watching it, you know, because there's like a part where like they're at the ticket booth and they get tickets thrown at them. And then like at the end, there's like robots that like try to get them. And then Gerard already made an allusion to Frankenstein, right?
Yeah. Where are you going with this?
This movie is a prequel to the Hancock Cinematic Universe, okay?
How?
Because the tickets, because they threw the tickets at him, right? Remember, the only thing that John Hancock had in his pocket was a movie ticket, okay?
I forgot that. Do not remember.
If I remember correctly, it's a movie ticket to Frankenstein.
Is that right?
And then those robots at the end are clearly the Hancock Ultron. It's the Hancock Ultron in the Hancock Justice League. This is amazing. We are now, what, we're like 10 movies deep now.
I thought this was a Marvel movie.
This saga.
I feel like Hancock then went from being a Marvel movie to a DC movie.
It's a combo of the two.
To like, What is the?
What do you mean? That's what they do. They do. That's what comic book movies do. It's like they have like 10 movies, and then they have like different things about them, and then they cross over.
John, can you
Then they do one with all of them together.
John, can you
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, John, for all John. The people who hit the 15 second skip forward, time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we think the film fully helped the cause, we'll give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right? So, on the count of three, we're going to lift up our ratings. You guys ready?
Kind of.
All right. I think I know.
Kind of.
I'm going to reverse it. 3, 2, 1.
We gave it 2 black fists. What'd you do, James?
I put up both my fists and my feet.
All right.
All right. That's we don't have that.
Everything's up.
All right. 3 black fists.
Anybody want to go first?
Yeah. Do you want to go first, James?
Yeah, I mean, just everything we've been talking about. We would just have to reiterate the whole podcast in order to say it. But like, it's so smart, it's so funny. First all black cast animated film. Like, what? Black director and writer. Reginald Hudlin has always been doing his thing, and really appreciative of a lot of his work. So like, you know what I'm saying? Let's like all the voice talent, Marcus Houston, Batman, Immature, IMX.
Okay.
Marcus Houston.
I love what you called him. I forgot his music name was Batman.
I'm saying sister. Okay. It just
Roger.
The move, Roger, yeah. Faison, Love, just everybody, just the voice talent is dope, and just, you know, and the messages, they just keep dropping jewels on you, and it's a kind of movie that definitely stuck with me from when I was a kid till now, and it's a gift that keeps on giving, you know, giving it a later watch. So definitely, I think there needs to be more and more and more and more and more movies like this.
Yeah, I gave it a fist. I actually didn't bring this up, but the animation of this movie I really liked, and I thought it looked familiar. And then I looked it up. The guy who, oh shoot, I should look up his name. But the guy who did this animation, he created the Proud Family.
What?
Which everybody knows is one of the biggest, you know, deal. Was he the creator, or he worked on the Proud Family, I know.
I thought about Proud Family while watching this, so that's great to know.
And then, maybe not the creator, but he definitely worked on it. He also worked on Space Jam, some of the animation in Space Jam. He also worked on the animation in The Princess and the Frog. So, like, you know, just him as an... And he directed the Proud Family movie, like the TV movie that they made. You know, he has a legacy of animation, which, you know, which is great. And like some of the, it seems like he was involved with all of the black animation that there is.
Wow.
But, you know, that's awesome. And obviously, like, Faison Love, like, such a great actor. He's been in a bunch of things. And maybe this movie doesn't have the legacy afterwards, but it's such a great movie in and of itself that I was like, you got to give this movie a black fist. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah. I give it a black fist. Honestly, when I suggested this movie, it just first thing came to my mind. And honestly, I did not know if it was going to be good or not. Did not know if we were going to like it or we were going to just butcher this movie the whole time. But after watching it, I just think, honestly, I know it didn't make any money, but I think whoever does watch it, you will feel good while seeing it. And I feel like it's so deep and it just makes me want more things like this. And honestly, it's thinking of, it made me think right now as an adult how to make a kids movie.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I always, like people always, like we always talk about it. If we can make a movie, what kind of movie would it be? In my mind, like there's always two genres. Like everyone would expect us to do a comedy, which no matter what, it'd be a comedic. But I'm like, what would happen if we ever did like an action movie or a kids, like not kid, kid, but like, yeah, something that everyone could see. Something like Jumanji.
A
family movie. And I, like, it makes me want to make one of those. I really, really want to make one of those. Something where like the adults can laugh, the kids can laugh, and the kids can feel good about who they are. So yeah, that's why I gave it that.
Yeah. So three black fists, baby's kids, guys.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you want to follow us on Instagram and Twitter, our handle is @BlackMenPodcast. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can follow me personally at John Braylock, JOMBRAYLOCK. Reminder that Astronomy Club has a show on February 12th at UCB East Village in New York City, 9 p.m. February 12th. Come on out to see that. And that's about it.
Yep. You can follow me at Draw Milligan on Twitter. I don't have anything else. But, oh, again, if you're in the New York area, February 5th through the 15th, go on MTV's website or Google Wildin' Out. I'll be working there trying to pay rent. Come through, watch one of the shows. We have really good guests. The comedians on there are dope. Yeah, check it out.
James?
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, jamesthirdcomedy.com. Third is spelled 3RD. If you're in LA the week that this comes out, I'm performing in the CBS Diversity Showcase the 23rd through the 26th. Tickets are free. And you can, if you follow me on Twitter, you will find out that info.
Nice.
Yeah.
And if you rate and review us 5 stars on iTunes, we will read your reviews on the air, which I'm about to do right now. I'm going to read 2, and they're both essays. But thank you, guys. This one is by DirtyC410. Binge-worthy is the title. I have been slowly binging, if that's a thing, the show for about a year. I deliberately only listen to episodes for movies I have watched so I can fuss/agree with the conversation and give my own fist. I love this show and your personalities. I hope none of you guys give up on acting. They have all threatened to do so over the years. None of us will. I hope James returns soon so he can thoroughly correct Gerard calling actors by their most popular character names. I wish you guys would add a segment, though. Could you guys review minority roles / performances in mainstream movies? Example, the Justice League. In my opinion, the only characters that were enjoyable or had any development were the minority characters / actors. Victor was the only
character. This person. What? What's this person's name? What's this person's name?
Dirty C410.
Dirty C410. I have been saying this since we started recording the podcast. So I'm glad to hear that a fan is interested. All right.
Yeah.
I have been asking to do this since we started the podcast.
I know. I don't know. That's a good idea.
Yeah, all right,
maybe the new year. We have to be more diligent and keep these shorter.
Yeah, we're gonna
maybe we'll add that. Maybe that's what our opening segment should be. All right.
Oh yeah. Maybe.
Example, the Justice. Okay, wait, I talked about this. Yeah, Victor was kind of the only character in the Justice League that actually had a character arc. The director was initially preparing for standalone movies. Cyborg was not one of them. So now that the movie bombed, they can say they gave the black and brown characters center stage. Just wonder what you all think about those types of decisions in these big movies. Love the show. I mean, I hear what you're saying. That's kind of true, but it's also DC is such a mess that it's hard to really think about it.
Super weird.
All right. And the last one I'll read is just by his name is Disappointed Person. The title, though, is # Team DVD Collection. What up? I got into podcasts about 6 months ago and came across yours. I listened to one and was hooked. Love, heart. The perspective and point of view is refreshing for a movie lover. The podcast is also entertaining, even though you know some things are coming, like the deep voice introduction, the not so drum roll, the transition using the movie title, the swirl, and the Hancock 2 pitch. Laughing face emoji.
Hey, what does he mean by the not so drum roll? Like, what is he talking about? Is he?
Your drum roll is not a drum roll. All right. It gives me the needed chuckle at work when I'm listening. I went back to listen to old episodes of movies I love, and I finally caught up. I'm always slightly disappointed when you all hate a movie I love, but I get it. The perspective is rubbing off on me, and I watch Men of Honor thinking, is this really about Carl? I think you guys should review that movie. Anyways, keep up the good fight. Tiffany Coco. That is a great point. We definitely should review Men of Honor.
But it's not about him.
I do remember liking that movie a lot.
That was my favorite movie for a really long time. And no, it's not about him.
That's so crazy.
It's really frustrating.
Woo! Hollywood! All right, guys. We don't know what we're going to review next week, right?
No, I don't think so.
But we will be back reviewing something. And we all know soon and very soon, Black Panther.
It's time. Get your tickets.
All right.
Get your outfits ready. We about to have a yo.
I'm about to review
Black Panther for 2 weeks. All right,
calm down.
Even if that's just bad, I'm gonna be like Wakanda, nigga. That's
what I'm all right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Peace.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.